Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that is devoted to the largest segment of society. Yes, indeed, the majority of folks have come to realize that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions have become corrupt, that they are actually counterproductive, and that there is no use shedding any tears or energy trying to fix them, because the problems that ail them cannot be resolved. Our phone number, if you'd like to join this discussion, it's toll-free, 877-300-7645. According to CNN, Dateline Washington, President Barack Hussein Obama has asked his national security team for yet another review of the U.S. policy towards Syria, after realizing that the Islamic State, although he doesn't call them that, he prefers the mythical ISIL, may not be defeated without a political transition in Syria and the removal of President Bashar al-Assad, senior U.S. officials and diplomats tell CNN. You know, you really ought not declare war and engage your military before you have your strategy to prevail. But this nincompoop decided that he would declare war against an enemy that he has misnamed, that he has deliberately misidentified, without a plan. Now, I told everyone who would listen that the moment the United States declared war on the Islamic State, that everything the U.S. did would backfire, that we would misrepresent who they are, incorrectly discuss their motives, wrongly attribute the very nature of the organization, establish future enemies out of those that we call enemies of our enemies and therefore our friends, and that the direct result on the alleged enemy, the Islamic State, would be that they would grow in prestige and firepower and overall popularity in numbers, territory, and in resolve. That all of those things would be counterproductive, and that America would shed blood and coin, making a bad situation much worse. It's happened just that way. And now, recognizing that what they have done has made a bad situation worse, and having a clue as to how to resolve the problem, this administration is calling on its national security team, which is comprised of fellow idiots, to come up with a new plan. Maybe just to come up with a plan. To hell with a new plan. Just come up with a plan. But there is no plan. There is no way, and never has been, to eradicate a religious foe with weapons, with bullets and bombs in today's jargon. One resolves the problems associated with religious rage through words, wielded wisely. Expose and condemn the motivation of the belligerents. That's what defuses them. But here is the president begging, if you will, his national security team to come up with a plan after he's already declared war. And then he's come up with this numbskull idea that you can't defeat the Islamic State without removing Bashar al-Assad. But that's unbelievably moronic. The Islamic State has nothing to do with Bashar al-Assad. It isn't weakened and it isn't strengthened by his success or his failure. You know, the Islamic State only feigned interest in attacking Bashar al-Assad. So they are actually a foe of Bashar al-Assad. They don't go away when the Assad regime goes away. They claim a victory. Assad and the Islamic State are enemies. That's how the Islamic State morphed into the group that it is today. It was certainly the second step of the journey. You know, to understand the nature of this, you've got to go back to the Bush invasion of Iraq, where George W. Bush, based on a pile of lies, decided that he wanted to be a wartime president, and you couldn't gain enough wartime prestige fighting a nebulous organization without territory, without meaningful weapons, without a meaningful number of recruits, like Al-Qaeda. I mean, Al-Qaeda is nothing. Never was anything meaningful. Names on a database. A few spokespeople. That's it. And so you couldn't become a wartime president fighting a foe like Al-Qaeda that is a paper tiger. So he decided he wanted to invade Iraq. That's a real foe, even though Iraq was the most stable dictatorship, the most rational, the most anti-Islamic, the most effective dictatorship in the Middle East in terms of allowing minorities to live side by side without violence, the greatest foe of terrorism, and the greatest foe of Iran developing nuclear weapons in the entire Islamic world. But this numbskull, George W. Bush, decided that he would declare war on them nonetheless, and based upon a pile of lies. Everything he said to justify his invasion was untrue, and he knew it to be untrue at the time. And so what did we do? We broke that country. We took a country that was completely impervious to terrorism, and we made it Grand Central Station for terrorism worldwide. We took a country where minorities could live side by side, and we created a killing zone for Sunnis, and then for Christians, and then for Zoroastrians, and then for Kurds, and even now for Shia. And while Al-Qaeda, which was one of the justifications, and Iraq were formidable foes, hated one another, no connection of any kind. Once America invaded Iraq, it became one of the great havens to draw jihadists. And one of those Sunni jihadist organizations, having no affiliation with Al-Qaeda whatsoever, was one formed by Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, an Islamic cleric of a Sunni persuasion. And he used the American invasion as a reason to create an Islamic terrorist organization. That was step one. The invasion, based on a pile of lies by George W. Bush, created the very foe that he said that he went into Iraq to fight. Now, understand, America never fought the Iraqi army. Never. It never fought Al-Qaeda in Iraq either. It created a Sunni fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization in Iraq. That was the start. And they were used not only to the Baghdadi's organization to kill Americans, but also to kill Shia and to keep them at bay. Then the U.S., unable to count, created a government that was totally controlled by the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, who is an Iranian mullah, giving Iraq to Iran. Well, this put the Shia at a great advantage over the Sunni, and they started to terrorize them. So a civil war broke out in Iraq during the American occupation. And Petraeus came up with this harebrained idea that, oh, we can thwart the belligerence of Shia Muslims by arming Sunni Muslims. So we created, Petraeus, through George Bush, created the Awakening Program as part of what he called was the Surge. And we armed Sunni Muslims so they could defend themselves against the Shia army that America had built in Iraq. Well, when we did that, we created step two of the Islamic State. The Awakening Program Sunnis, who were the highest ranking individuals in what had been Saddam Hussein's military, his government, and his economic endeavors, joined the Islamic State. That was step two. There are now tens of thousands of them, all equipped by American weapons. Then, the Islamic State recognized that they could gain additional weapons and serious weapons if they joined the fight against Bashar al-Assad. And so they did. And they received countless arms from America and Qatar and Saudi Arabia in the proxy war, Sunni via Shia in Syria. Well, they became so well armed that the Awakening Program Sunni leaders, tribal leaders, and business leaders, and government leaders, and military leaders, former all of those things because they're Sunnis, and now Shia Iraq, didn't like the Shia government bombarding them. You know, the Shia government was doing what they're doing in Kiev. They were bombarding, using American military equipment to pulverize civilian communities, particularly around Fallujah. So they, in conjunction with the Sunni jihadists that were part of the Islamic State in Syria, joined forces and they attacked the Shia head on. And they won. We'll be back. We're reviewing how the Islamic State came into being. Because sometimes when you understand the cause and effect, you're put in a much better position to resolve a problem. In fact, if you don't know how you got into a fix, it's really hard to get yourself out of it. Well, you know, in this particular case, the President of the United States declared war and started the war against the Islamic State before he had a plan. And now that he recognizes that all he's done thus far is make a bad situation worse, he's caused al-Nusra and the Islamic State, which were actually opponents, to merge. And he's caused the Islamic State to be much stronger. And hasn't accomplished anything except the only formidable foe that Assad had has now been removed. And he wants to get rid of Assad, and he wants to get rid of the Islamic State. And so now he's saying, you know, if I could just get rid of Assad, I could get rid of the Islamic State. But the fact is, they're enemies. If you want someone to work with you to get rid of the Islamic State, the most natural enemy, the most effective enemy, the localized enemy, the well-equipped enemy, is the Syrian army, the Syrian government. But you've got a problem with them because their alliances are with Iran that you can't communicate with. You write them secret letters and they just laugh at you. And with Russia, whom you're sanctioning. So the only sane party that you could have engaged in a discussion with Assad, your only liaison to him was Russia. But you've browbeat Putin to the point that he didn't want to talk to you anymore. So now you're pretending that if you got rid of Assad, you could get rid of the Islamic State, when in fact they're the only two natural enemies of one another. Getting rid of Assad will strengthen the Islamic State. You know, when the Islamic State received American and Qatari and Saudi Arabian weapons as they were battling the Assad regime, and successfully, they then used those weapons to take on the Shia, Iranian-backed, Iranian-linked Iraqi military, and they prevailed mightily. And in so doing, they not only routed the American-trained Iraqi military, but they confiscated all of their American equipment. And they started deploying it, and now they control most of the Sunni areas of Iraq, which is really all they want. They want the Sunni areas of Iraq. They want the Sunni areas of Syria. They have both. They really want nothing else. That was their goal. Now, should they down the road decide they want to take over Jordan? Yeah, maybe they will prevail in doing so. They're not going to take over Saudi Arabia. It's got too large an American military. It's unlikely, anyway. It's unlikely that they're going to attack Iran. Iran is way too populous, too large, too big a military for the Islamic State to successfully battle. You know, they may want to embarrass America in Baghdad, but Baghdad has way too many Shia Muslims for the Islamic State to successfully invade and occupy. Be way too high a cost. No, their goal is to rid the Sunni areas of Syria and Iraq of Shia meddling, of Shia antagonism, of Shia influence, and to establish a Sunni caliphate in those areas. That's all they want. We ought just to have left them alone. You know, it sort of solves the problem that the world was having with Syria, where Syria had gone from an alliance with Iraq under Saddam Hussein to an alliance with Iran after the American invasion. Because the problem was that it elevated Iranian influence in the area, which is why the Qataris and the Saudi Arabians began a proxy war and began equipping jihadists like the Islamic State to attack Assad, to diminish the power of Iran and Shiite Islam. But if Assad is limited to nothing more than the territory in southwestern Syria around the city-state now of Damascus, then it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to the influence and power distribution between the two sects of Islam. Let it be. That was the best approach of all. But no, we declared war. The United States has sunk to a new low. Now the country declares war, and within months of the time that it declares war, it calls its national security team together to say, huh, what in the world did we do? Anybody got a plan? You know, it's easy to declare war. It's easy to start a war. It's hard to get out of a war. Now that the United States has publicly declared that it is going to eradicate the Islamic State, it's pretty well sucked in to attempt to do so. And yet it can't be done.
It's that old draw the line in the sand.
Oh, yeah. Draw the line in the sand. Okay, we'll have another line in the sand. Don't you cross that line or we're going to draw another line in the sand. But, you know, he drew a line in the sand. We are going to eradicate the Islamic State. Well, I actually didn't say that. He called them the ISIL, the Islamic State and Syria and the Levant. And then he said that they weren't Islamic. Okay, and now he's saying, well, we can't successfully eradicate them until we get rid of Assad. Why? I mean, how stupid could you be? Assad's not complaining that we're bombing al-Nusra and the Islamic State. He's rather thrilled about it. He's not unhappy that this is being done. It's the only threat to him is now being, you know, bombed by America. Who would have ever thought that the Obaminator who wanted to bomb Damascus, who wanted to bomb Assad into oblivion, is now bombing on his behalf. Talk about turnaround in a year's period of time. It's, if you want to thwart the Islamic State the militarily, which I think is really a bad idea, but if you wanted to thwart them militarily, there's only one effective force. That's Assad. You know, you can deal with one or the, you know, if you want to deal with the Islamic State, you're in bed with Assad. To get rid of Assad simply makes the Islamic State vastly more potent, because now they have no enemy present on the ground in Syria. They would control all of Syria, including all of Syria's military hardware. That's not a good scenario. So the review is a tacit admission, according to CNN. No, it's not a tacit admission. It's an outright admission that the initial strategy of trying to confront ISIS, first in Iraq and then take the group's fighters on in Syria, without also focusing on the removal of Assad, was a miscalculation. No, that is not what is being admitted by this. The removal of Assad is counterproductive to dealing with the Islamic State. The Islamic State exists because of America's invasion. That was the miscalculation. It exists because the Sunni-Shia war that is being fought today in Iraq began in Syria. And America took the side of the Sunni, which is what the Islamic State is, and armed them against the Shia government of Assad. But now in Iraq, we want to partner with the Shia government and oppose the Sunni Mujahideen, which is the opposite side that we're taking in Syria. The miscalculation is that you can't arm and bomb the same people. You can't be on one side, the Shias, in a religious war in Iraq, and be on the other side with the Sunni against the Shia in Syria. Not in be sane, not in be rational, not in function, not in achieve any kind of positive result. You know, the problem isn't Assad. The problem is that this is a religious war, Sunni via Shia in Iraq, Sunni via Shia in Syria, and America is on the Shia side in Iraq and the Sunni side in Syria. That's brain dead. And the press can't even figure it out. In just the past week, the White House has convened four meetings of the president's national security team, one of which was chaired by Obama and the others that were attended by principals like the Secretary of State. These meetings, in the words of one senior official, were, quote, driven to a large degree about how our Syria strategy fits into our ISIS strategy. Wake up there, pal. I mean, you don't have to have four meetings to know that you're not going to be successful in a religious civil war when you're fighting on behalf of and arming the Shias in Iraq against the Sunnis, while across the non-existent border, you're fighting the Sunnis and on behalf of the Shia, when in fact you're opposed to the Shia government there. You know, you were arming the Sunnis in Syria to fight the Shia, and now in Iraq you're arming the Shia to fight the Sunni. I mean, other than squander a lot of weapons, other than get a lot of people killed, other than look like an absolute fool, what did you think you were going to accomplish? Quote, the president has asked us to look again at how all this fits together. And how... It's a proxy war between Sunni and Shia Islam. There is no benefit for any outside influence to engage. This is a gripe that is 1,400 years old. It is between Sunni and Shia Muslims. America has no interest here. Europe has no interest here. This is a Muslim problem. Step away. That's how it all fits together. The Syrian war is a proxy war. The Iraqi war is a civil war. Battle lines are exactly the same in both, Shia versus Sunni. You can't be on one side and one side of the border and on the other side of the border when that border no longer even exists. The long-running Syria problem is now compounded by the reality that to genuinely defeat ISIL, and only in the administration would any moron use that term, we need not only a defeat in Iraq, but a defeat in Syria. Okay. So, on behalf of Shia Islam, you want to defeat Sunnis in Iraq. These are the same Sunnis, by the way, that you weaponized and paid in the Awakening program. And then in Syria, you want to do away with the same Sunnis that you armed so that they could attack Assad. And you want to take out Assad, but remove his primary enemy to accomplish that feat. And you wonder why? You're all screwed up. You know, the problem here is that no one in the United States at a government level, at an intelligence level, at a military level, is willing to discuss the implications of Islam. It's off the table. So if you can't talk about the implications of Islam, you've got to have a clue what's going on there. Which is why we're so clueless. Multiple senior administration officials and diplomats spoke with CNN on a condition of anonymity. Yeah, because they look like idiots, to discuss the internal issues at the White House. The White House itself referred questions about the review to the State Department. The State Department. Okay. The State Department is an international diplomacy institution. They deal in the world of politics. This is not a political battle. There no longer is a Syria or Iraq as we once knew them. There is Kurdistan in northern Iraq. It's no longer part of Iraq. It's a Kurdish enclave. There is Western Iran, which is the Shia enclaves in eastern Iraq. They have just essentially been merged into Iran as if there's no border there. And then there's the Islamic State, which is all of the Sunni areas of Iraq, plus the large swath of Sunni territory in Syria. Then you have a city-state called Damascus, where Assad hangs out. And then up in the northwest, you have total ruin and demolition in Homs and Aleppo and the like. It's nothing but twisted metal and dilapidated, blown apart concrete structure. Nothing there. Nothing lives up there. And all the while, there's a religious war being fought between Sunni and Shias. That's the landscape here. By geography, by religion, there's nothing, there is no State Department influence in the sense of, let's treat Iraq like it was Iraq, Iran like it was Iran, and Syria like it was Syria. Those designations are now meaningless. We screwed that up big time with our invasion of Iraq. You know, the pre-invasion borders no longer exist. The State Department can do nothing here because they're still living in a world that was obliterated by the U.S. invasion. Meanwhile, other sources denied to CNN that Obama has ordered a review, but admit there is concern about some core aspects of the strategy. So here is an administration that is lying to itself, that is confused, that doesn't want the world to know that it's confused, and others that say, you know, we got a serious problem here. The press and the people have a right to know because this is a public office after all. What a mess. Don't declare war unless you know who you're fighting and how you're going to prevail. Alistair Rabasky, a spokesperson for the National Security Council, said in a statement Wednesday evening, the strategy with respect to Syria has not changed. While the immediate focus remains to drive ISIL, which doesn't exist, out of Iraq, we and coalition partners will continue to strike at ISIL in Syria to deny them safe haven and to disrupt their ability to project power. So, how are you going to drive them out of Iraq by bombing them in Syria? Wouldn't that simply drive them into Iraq and out of Syria? If it were effective, anyway. If you knew who you were hitting. And by the way, and how does America have any intelligence on who's where in Syria? We don't have any operatives there. Are we going to base everything on satellite images as if we could tell one Muslim from another? Are our satellites now capable of distinguishing between a Sunni and Shia Muslim? I don't think so. How do we even go about distinguishing who's part of the Islamic State, who's part of the Republican Guards, who's part of the Iraqi military, who's part of the Iranian military, who's part of the Kurdish Embrace Death militants, when they're operating in Iraq and in Syria? I mean, really? How would you know on a satellite picture? And you can't say, you can't look at the equipment they're using, because most of the equipment is either American or Russian, depending on what side of the border they're on. And then, you know, the Assad regime is using Russian equipment, as are those who are fighting this Assad regime, because they've confiscated Russian equipment. It's the same thing is true on the other side in Iraq. It's all American equipment because it's either being used by the Iraqi government or the Shia militias that are in bed with the Iraqi government, or by the Sunnis for they confiscated it. I mean, how would you even know? How do you distinguish friend from foe in a religious war, where the only difference between adversary and alliance is the version of Islam that they adhere to, Sunni or Shia? The presidential spokesperson, Basky, let's call him Basket Case, said Assad has been the biggest magnet for extremism in Syria. You know, Assad's not a magnet for extremism. I mean, how could you be any dumber? Assad, like Saddam Hussein, was an opponent of extremism. There was no extremism in Syria prior to America joining with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and fighting a proxy war against Iranian influence there. the extremist, let's just call them fundamentalist Islamic terrorists, that exist in Syria now were brought there by the United States, by Saudi Arabia, by Qatar. They weren't brought there by Assad. Assad is repulsed by them. Assad opposed them, just as did Saddam Hussein. The opposite of what the presidential spokesperson is saying is true. There would be no extremism in Syria had America not supported this proxy war. Had America not invaded Iraq, there would be no extremism in the Assad regime or in Syria. It's not to say that Assad was a peaceful fellow. No, he was a ruthless dictator. Not to side with Saddam Hussein. He was also a ruthless dictator. But both of them opposed fundamentalist Muslim terrorist organizations. They weren't magnets for them. They were exactly the opposite. And so if you're going along this idea that you say Assad is a magnet for these things, and therefore you've got to get rid of Assad because he is somehow drawing them in, you're upside down. You're absolutely, completely, and totally lost. And when you're playing with the largest military on earth, when you're arming every militant on earth, that's not a good place to be.